too many Christian men are oblivious to the spiritual battle they're in. As a result, they fall to Satan's tricks and distractions.
How did this happen? We want to scream. Maybe we're sitting silently as our weeping wife tells our pastor about our affair. Or we're frustrated that we exploded in anger at our kids again. Or we wonder why we told our boss we misplaced the report that we actually forgot to do. How does this happen? Why do men fail? Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm here with Kent Darcy. We're so glad you tuned in. Today, we're going to look at three reasons why Christian men fail. It's a tough topic, but Champions Arise is here to encourage and equip men to be all that God wants them to be. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A righteous man falls seven times and gets up again." We believe this man gets up with the help of other godly men. So stay with us as we learn how men can encourage each other not to fail. We'll be right back with Champions Arise.
Some say becoming a man is as simple as reaching a certain age. But at Champions Arise, we don't define manhood by a date on the calendar, but instead by one's personal choices of character and valor. Discover with us how to stand firm in the battle of life and allow Christ Jesus, the supreme model of manhood, to determine your motives and actions. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org.
Kent, many men struggle with sin, and we've all seen examples of godly men who have fallen into disgrace.
Yeah, it just breaks your heart. Research shows that 50% of American men who say they are Christians look at pornography on a regular basis. And usually, where there are ongoing problems with sin, there's a cause. And Steve Farrar, who is a Christian author and a conference speaker, found an important one. He interviewed over 200 pastors who were caught having affairs with women in their church. Mm. These are men who not only know the Bible, they teach it. But in those interviews, Mr. Farrar discovered three deadly mistakes that these Christian men had made. Each of these men admitted that in the 12 months before the affair started, they had stopped having their quiet time, they had stopped being accountable to other men for their quiet time, and they counseled women behind closed doors.
So hang on a second, Ken.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Uh-huh. 12 months before the affair started, they quit having their regular quiet time with God?
That's right. Yeah, before. Oh. I mean, obviously, there's a very important connection between a man's quiet time with God and his ability to handle stress or face a crisis or make right decisions when a relationship issue comes up. And these are the things that make us weak when temptations arise.
You know, we spoke about the importance of quiet time in our last program. And by the way, if you missed the program, you can hear it at championsarise.org. The show is called Finding the One Thing. But right now, Kent, let's give our listeners a brief overview of the quiet time concept.
Sure. In his book, Every Man a Warrior, Lonnie Berger stresses the importance of having a daily quiet time with God. He breaks the process down into three simple steps that only take 15 minutes. He calls it the ABCs of having quiet time. And A is, as you read some verses or a chapter in the Bible, ask questions and write down your thoughts. B stands for find the best verse and best thought in that section that you're reading. Choose the verse that really stands out and write that verse down and why it stood out to you. And C is communicate back to the Lord in prayer. Speak to him about how this portion of Scripture impacted you. All you need is a Bible, a journal, or a paper to write on, and a place with no distractions or interruptions, and a consistent time every day when you can take 15 minutes to be with God.
By the way, if you missed that program where we outlined this, we really encourage you to listen to it because our next few programs are built on the foundation of that daily quiet time with God. And again, you can hear that program at championsarise.org. Now, if you just joined us, this is Champions Arise, and I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. We're discussing why Christian men have moral failures and how skipping our daily quiet time with God can make us vulnerable to falling into sin. You know, Kent, I think the fear of failing drives me to have that daily time with the Lord, but I still struggle to do it regularly and to get the most out of it. Is that common? And if so, why?
Well, I think it's very common. I know for me, I'll do really well for a while, and then things come up, schedules change, and my quiet time schedule just falls apart. But Lonnie Berger addresses this problem in his book. He lists three key reasons why men fail to have a regular and quality quiet time. And the first reason is no one ever taught them how to have a quiet time.
Mm.
You know, we don't hear about it talked about much in church. And when we try, we just kind of wander through it. You know, it's kind of like going to the gym or a fitness center to work out, but not learning what the various exercise machines do. You know, as a result, you know, you can't use them properly. So you go to the gym a few times and your incentive drops and you're not getting physically fit. So
right,
you quit.
Right.
And I think a lot of men treat quiet time the same way. However, if we are taught the skills of how to have a solid daily quiet time, you develop those skills and have the discipline to maintain those skills, we will be rewarded with a wonderful love relationship with God and a lawless desire for sin.
So the first reason we don't have quiet time is that we don't have the skills. What's the second reason?
Well, the second reason is Satan doesn't want us to have a successful quiet time with God.
Absolutely.
You know, the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And Christians are those someones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all in a spiritual war. And the Phillips translation of the Bible describes the spiritual war we're in like this. It says, for our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. That's from verse 12 in Ephesians 6. And too many Christian men are oblivious to the spiritual battle they're in. As a result, they fall to Satan's tricks and distractions. You know, the Apostle Paul writes about this to the followers of Christ in Corinth. He wrote, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And that's what we've all seen. Men led astray. You know, Satan is deliberate and intentional in trying to keep us from time with God.
I can see that. I can't speak for you, Kent, but I find myself so easily distracted from my quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the phone rings. I suddenly remember something important that I forgot to do. The kids start hollering for attention.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, there are all sorts of distracting things that just pop up.
Oh, yeah. I think you're speaking for most of us. But that is not a coincidence. Satan always tries to destroy our love relationship with God. And interfering with our quiet time is a great way to do that. This is why a well-planned place and time for our quiet time is so important. And this leads us to the last reason we fail to have enriching quiet times. The third reason is that men have no one to hold them accountable for their quiet times. It is very important to have someone who comes alongside us and helps. You know, when Jesus sent his disciples out, we see in Mark chapter 6, he sent them out two by two in pairs. Later, Paul and Barnabas took their missionary journeys together. You know, even today, Olympians have their coaches, athletes have their physical trainers, golf pros have their caddies. You know, if you're trying to lose weight, it helps to have an accountability partner, one who helps you. You know, and Jesus summed up the reason why. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Oh, yes.
And that's why men need a partner to help them maintain the discipline of daily quiet time. You know, I recommend that men commit to getting together every week with other men to share what they're learning in their quiet times. They should also hold each other accountable to keep their walk with God strong, and they need to pray together. You know, Foster, men all over the world use these principles. They use them to climb mountains, to win sporting events, to make it through a rehabilitation process after an injury. And it's important for us, too, because when Christian men come together to care for each other and encourage each other in their walk with God, real accountability happens and strongholds of sin fall.
You know, when you break it down like this, it makes perfect sense. If you don't know how to have an effective quiet time, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan doesn't want you to have the quality quiet times with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then without an individual man or group of men to help, the discipline of maintaining a daily quiet time is really tough.
Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible, but very difficult. But we also need to remember that the focus of quiet time is to develop our love relationship with God by seeking to know Him and His Word. Jesus said quite simply, without me, you can do nothing. Mm. And we want to be godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers, and godly employees and friends, but we can't do it without Jesus Christ. Jesus taught about this in a parable found in John 15, verses 4 through 8. In this teaching, he calls himself the vine and his followers the branches. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That intimate relationship is what we want, but it won't happen without regular quiet times.
And we've also learned that without regular quiet times, our love relationship with God gets weak and we're more vulnerable to failing.
That's right. That's right. And this is why we have to make a commitment to honor our quiet times with God. You know, I heard a story about a man who did just that. There was this minister under Prussian King Frederick the Great. He took his quiet time with God so seriously that his servant was instructed never to allow anyone to disturb him while he was in his quiet time. Well, you know, one day the king himself arrived at his house and wanted to see the minister.
Uh-oh.
But his servant asked the king to wait until the minister had finished his quiet time with God.
Mm.
Now, when he met with the king later, he apologized by saying, excuse me, your majesty, but I had a meeting with the King of Kings. You know, that is the depth of commitment we all need to have.
May God strengthen us all to have that type of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But before we finish today's program, let's review where we've been.
Okay. Well, we've learned that though quiet time with God should be the cornerstone of every man's walk with God, three things often get in our way. First, we don't know how to have a daily quiet time. Second, Satan works to keep us from having a daily quiet time. And third, we don't have other men holding us accountable to have that daily quiet time. But these obstacles can be overcome with God's help.
Thank you so much, Kent.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we've all been inspired to make daily quiet time with God our highest priority.
Here's Edmund Speaker, founder of Champions Arise.
Man was created to live in relationship with God, but was separated by sin. Through the cross of Christ, the penalty of sin was paid. By praying in faith, we are reconciled and become children of God. So prayer first changes us. And when we pray for others, God allows us to participate with Him in changing people and circumstances.
To learn how prayer is at the heart of Champions Arise, go to our website, championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and encouraged to meet their God-given potential. Today we discuss why men fail. The material for this program came from lesson number 3 in the book Every Man a Warrior by Lonnie Berger. His book can be used by individuals, small groups, or in classes at church. For more information, visit Champions Arise at our website, www.championsarise.org. In our next program, we'll look at the importance of using the sword of the Spirit as we continue in our Every Man a Warrior series. On behalf of Kent Darcy, this is Foster Brown. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, and may God mold you into the man He knows you can be.